Welcome to MTG Ectoplasm, your home for Spirit Tribal and Magic the Gathering. I'm your host, Dwight, a.k.a. DiBlanco, a medium that wears an extra large. But, you know, that's how we get into the holiday season. We're getting a little bigger. Listen, you can reach out to me at mtgectoplasm@gmail.com, or you can just reach me at mtgectoplasm on Twitter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, like I do, I want to introduce the engineer, the driver of the show. She is who I call the ravishing one, the one, the only, the ravishing Renata. How you doing there, ravishing?
Hi. I'm doing good.
Been a long time.
Yes, it has.
It's been what? How long has it been?
It's back. We're back from the eternal void.
We've been in the ley line of the void right now. It's like we're crawling back from exile, and hopefully we'll sneak into the graveyard, and then eventually someone will play on Earth, and then we'll return hand and so on and so forth. Cool. But, you know, it's been a quick minute. I will be discussing why in a later episode what had happened. There's been a lot of trials and tribulations in my family. And, you know, it's about time. The Boo Crew, you get me back a good time later than now, because I'm telling you, Spirits is, you know, on the up again in Pioneer. But there's another thing going on. My friend, a longtime cohort of mine, he reached out to me. He's like, Dwight, listen, you've been out in a while. It's due for you to come back. It's time for you to make your timeless approach. And I'm like, what do you mean, my friend? And he told me, and it's like, this thing, and you know what? I was like, you know what? You've got a point, my friend. I want you to be back. I want you to talk to me about it, because, you know, I'm slightly ignorant on certain things. The arena is where I'm mostly ignorant, I'm going to be honest with you. But with that being said, let me bring in the guy who's been with me almost near day one. He calls himself the Bucket Man. He's the one that I call Peter freaking Valco. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing?
It's been a quick minute since I've seen you. You know, you've got your latest shows coming on. Let me just say you're on Instagram.
Yes. Recently, Instagram upped their reel time to 10 minutes, a much more welcoming format for me to put this episodic series on. But we'll talk about more about that later.
Well, let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's a moral imperative to follow. He's just funny. Let me just tell you, truly entertaining. I have yet to see anything online comparable to it. I am a huge fan of Peter, and I'm happy to have you on, man.
I'm always happy to come on here.
All right, so with that being said, Peter, you reached out to me and going, hey, listen, there's a new thing coming on, and it's Arena. I'm like, dude, Arena's been out for a while. He's like, no, you're missing something. Watsy announced back in December, early December, I think it was December 4th, there was an announcement on their webpage saying, hey, a new format. I'm like, oh, man, old formats. But Timeless. I was like, okay, yeah, piqued my interest here, Peter. What is Timeless? Now, go ahead, Peter. Tell me in the Boo Crew what Timeless is.
Let me take you guys all back to the first time we got retro cards on Arena. Back to Strixhaven when we got the Mystical Archive. We got all these really cool retro cards with old filters on them, and we were like, oh, sweet. We get to use some of these spells, Natural Order, things like that on Arena.
Right.
But then we came to realize a lot of those cards were banned in the Historic and other formats. Very disappointed. And followed up with the retro artifacts, the Enchanting Tales, the other reprints in the sets. Banned cards that were included in those, and we couldn't use them. Now that's changed. Spells like Roggevon, Counterspell, all legal in this new format called Timeless. Right. Upon the release of Khans of Takir, Wizards released the format Timeless on Arena. Basically, the legacy of Arena. You got your fetch lands, you got your Counterspells, you got your Roggevons, you've got multiple different big, powerful things happening, and all those cards I was just mentioning before are unbanned in this. There are very few restricted cards in this format, I believe only three, and it presents for very fast and very interesting games.
What I think is interesting to me, you went Legacy, I'm going to say even further time period when I used to play a lot, which was Vintage. I consider this really Vintage-like because the fact that in no other format besides Vintage, we have restricted cards. I mean, you can only play, typically we play with four, but now we're going down to one card. You get to play one. And that's what, let me see, Channel, Demonic Tutor, and Tybalt's Trickery. Like, what? I mean,
Dwight, you've been out for a year now, so let me give you an update. And I think this was within the year of you being gone. There's a card called Oracle of the Alpha. It's a bird. Uh-huh. It's 2/3, and it's 3 mana. When it enters the battlefield, you shuffle the power 9 into your deck.
Yeah, no, I've missed that.
So this format is very, yes, there's a lot of Vintage aspects to it. Yes, you don't have complete control over the power 9, but with cards like Ephemera and recursion abilities on Oracle the Alpha, you can flood your deck with Time Walks, Moxes, Time Twisters. It's nuts.
Well, I see. And the best part, it's like a 60-card non-rotating format. You know, that's what I love. I'm a friend. And as you see here, these are the cards. I've heard from several people who have played, and I've seen other content creators. You know, I know, we both know, hell, everybody in this room and everybody watching knows Tybalt's Trickery. We know the shenanigans that Tybalt causes. Demonic Tutor, fetching or searching for two mana, anything. And then finding channel. Well, I remember playing the good old days of Channel Fireball and winning the game. And you're telling me channel doesn't wouldn't cause any form of shenanigans in this format? I can understand why they restricted these.
You know, it's funny you bring up Channel Fireball. I really think that a lot of people nowadays still wouldn't know what that means, especially like a lot of new players. You'd have
They would think it's the actual gaming store or whatever channel the channelfireball.com is now. But there used to be a card, you play channel, you play
Fireball.
And you throw your life into it, and you would defeat your opponent 1, 2, 3. It was beautiful.
It really is. And I also really find it funny that Tybalt's Trickery, while it makes sense, is limited because, let's face it, it was an annoying deck, but it was also a glass cannon variance deck where if that card was countered or if you didn't run into that card in the deck, you weren't doing anything. So, but you know, they found it necessary to put it on the restricted list, and I respect that.
All right. Well, let's get down to the question, shall we? Like I said, the WotC made us aware on December 4th. It started live play December 12th. So we're like 5 days later. So that's pretty cool. You've actually got to play a little bit. But let me ask you, from an outsider's perspective, is this a cash grab from WotC?
I've mulled over this concept, and I've landed on a no.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Anytime you add a new format to Arena, it's going to be coupled with the release of new cards or the legalization of already existing cards, unless the format is something like Pauper or Brawl, where there isn't really the same precedent or power level. Maybe power level is not the right word, but it's part of the process of setting the power stage. We all knew Fetchlands were coming to Arena, let alone a new format eventually. So really, we've all had the prep and awareness for this happening. If your response to that is, well, a lot of the retro artifacts, mystical archives, et cetera, were banned on release, so I really had no incentive to craft them then. My friend, if you think those cards like that were just put there to look pretty in Brawl and Freestyle mode, that's unfortunately your misconception. I'd also like to add that, for example, in this, I forgot to say, hot take.
Okay, hot take. Ravishing. Yeah, let's see. Okay, there's the hot take.
All right.
Okay.
So and I'd also like
what's your hot take?
I'd also like to add that, for example, when Uro was banned, I had a full playset on Arena. Then the ban hit, and I redeemed 4 mythic wild cards as a result from Wizards. Now that Timeless has arrived, I still have the Uros to use. So I think in the long run, that's a pretty damn generous move by Wizards, where they get a lot of flack for that, for not being generous enough. I think people miss a lot of those times that they are.
Okay, that's fair. Let me ask you, because, you know, some people go, it seems like now that this format may be a little expensive for me to get into. Is that a fair take to take?
Absolutely not. Individual cards on Arena have no set price. You don't obtain your Raghavan on Arena by paying the standard $45. I know that's crazy to hear. He's $45 right now in game. you redeem Mythic Wildcard for it. This format is not going to be more Mythic, more Mythic mostly card decks. The card closest you can price a Mythic Wildcard to is $5 each, being a pack of four is $20. $2.50 for each rare wildcard, being a pack of four is $10. And then you have wildcards that you can earn through the Season Pass, regular play achievements, your Treasure Vault, opening them in packs, and by filling them through your wildcard reel when you open packs. So again, back to the hot take, very generous by Wizards. They get overlooked by a lot on this. And if your argument to that is that I don't want to buy the season pass, that's your level of devotion. It's $25 and you get so much value out of it.
Hmm. All right. To me, that makes sense. I mean, I'm a person who plays free on Arena here and there when I have an opportunity. But, you know, this is, like I said, I do like, you know, formats that never rotate. Let me ask you, is Arena's been out there for a quick minute. It's fair to say. Is this going to be welcoming for brand new players coming in, or is this just a thing just for experienced players like myself?
So I have a fun answer for this one.
Okay.
This format will not be welcoming for new players. Not that that's a bad thing, though. Let's look at it from an anime perspective. If you're an anime watcher, you'll understand this. One Piece, for example. Like many great animes, one thing that you can do to introduce the power structure and the titans that occupy them in the, is, you know, introduce them, build interest. That's how you show, you know, what the show is all about and, you know, what you're aspiring to. You're introduced to the world of adventurous pirates. You got excited hearing about the different pirate groups, the seven warlords of the sea. Being so powerful, the Marines are forced to partner with them to maintain order, and the four emperors of the sea. Same principle, but more powerful. In my eyes, Magic's different formats have the same appeal. You start as a casual player, just loving the cards and the game, and then you start hearing about the path to glory through competitive Magic the Gathering play. You hear a friend in the tournament, you hear they won something cool, you hear they went to a con, it was awesome. You start out in Standard. This is where you start. You perfect your basic concepts and gameplay with the rest of the recent cards on Arena and find your style. Modern. You're ready for faster moving game where the sparks fly and the ground will quake with the power that you wield. Legacy. You're very familiar with the wide variety of cards in the world of Magic the Gathering and are ready to bring out only the most powerful strategies and concepts to the table. Games moving at sometimes lightning speeds and hugely explosive endings. In my eyes, it is a very important perspective of the power levels of Magic the Gathering and creates a desire to improve your collection and game. Now, more experienced players will enjoy the format plenty, being that you are familiar with the concepts such as brainstorming before you crack a fetch land and so on. That and the fact that this dips further back into Magic's history for Arena players. So, no, I think this is more for, you know, the veterans or people who have been playing Arena for a while and are ready to move on to that next step.
Okay, that's a fair point. And it's kind of funny that you actually were talking about One Piece because I was just finishing episode 418. I'm that far now in One Piece. And I'm like, Jesus. Yes, I know that symbol. I just don't realize where it's coming from.
It's the Hearts Pirates. Law.
Yes, he's okay. I remember them right now. I'm dealing with the Snake Princess,
but she's great.
Well, she's in love. Okay, I don't want to spoil nothing.
Yeah,
okay, just leave it there. Let me ask you, you say it's more for experienced players. There are some experienced players, I'm a friend of one or two of them that they like brain dead decks. Is this something for brain dead players, or is this for someone who likes to use their gray matter?
So based on how you phrase that, it can be a very gray matter intensive format. You can play decks like mono red. I'm sure some mono green deck will rise up, but at the end of the day, you're using your brain. You're remembering to brainstorm and then crack the fetch. You're remembering when to hold up a counterspell and when you think a lightning bolt will be enough. Very real elements of Magic the Gathering are coming up here. And in Timeless, you're going to have to use your brain.
Okay, that's fair. You know, I like personally using my gray matter. As you see, I'm wearing a little gray with a splash of dolphins. let me ask you. I've heard some people make a complaint currently about Timeless. I'm not gonna I don't want to say anything about this one guy. I know some people like the guy a lot. I know a lot of people that don't like the guy. I've met the young man. I think he's very talented. I forgot the guy. Blue. So something blue. And he brought up a point that right now you have arena cards on the in the format. The question there, something people like me who have never played arena see that these there are arena cards that have different text and have the original card prints. Me personally, as a paper player, I'm used to what's on paper, not this newfangled for me arena. Let's change up the cards. So it's either like, as we would say, it's been what's the term I'm looking here for?
Rebalancing.
Balance. Thank you. Is it unbalanced or balanced? Unbalanced or balanced? Is that a good thing for Magic or for Arena?
So it's a necessary evil in a digital format. In any digital format you do, Hearthstone has done this plenty of times. And Magic the Gathering knows that, you know, when it comes to a product that you can alter when your audience is having an issue with it, do it, especially if it's justified. That being said, both versions of the card are on Arena. And while I respect your friend's opinion, they have to realize that these aren't all nerfs. These are rebalances in both senses of the word. A lot of cards have become better because of these rebalances. A lot of cards have become nerfed. But both versions are available and timeless. Like I was making the argument for to you before, it's for the reason that the balance goes both ways and freedom to the players that maybe you want a 5-mana Omnath so you can pot into it easier. Who knows? But it's all there, and it's for people to, you know, make their own decisions with.
All right. Well, before we continue, Peter, let them know where we can find you real quick on Instagram.
Yes. If you go to Bucket Man Eternal on Instagram, you will be able to find my page. You'll see all my content on there. You'll see the trailer I released recently for the holiday season. All of the interesting stuff going on, you'll see it on there. I have a trailer. We'll go over that towards the end of the episode, I imagine. But yeah, go check out there. All 9 episodes, 9th being the holiday special, are up there. Go check them out and share them. Like, comment, follow, and share if you enjoy.
All right. Well, don't forget to hit that follow, like, subscribe button. Now, let me ask you. One thing I've noticed, especially with the Strixhaven cards, you know how they reprinted Counterspell and all these, they changed the rarity on some of these cards. And then you had the original printings that were somewhere commons or uncommons. What do you think Watsi's going to do with this, especially when it comes to those wild cards? Because I know they may have a wild card, for, I think, for Mythic, a rare, and uncommon.
Mythic, rare, uncommon, and common.
Oh, so they have all 4. So yeah. Let me ask you, is it going to be fair for Magic players to sit there and pay a wild card rare for a card that's actually uncommon or common?
I wouldn't read too much into this. It's cosmetic at best, and the other half of it is time. You got to think, when Brainstorm was first released, that was the beginning of Magic. They had no idea how much this was going to be abused. And now that we've seen over the past 30 years, Brainstorm lead into my personal favorite, you know, using my Narset, the Enlightened Master, put a Brainstorm, a Time Warp onto the top, hit it, take extra turns. Or go to the Legacy example and Brainstorm your Miracles to the top of your library. The amount of control Brainstorm allows, they've learned their lesson. And for Arena, they're going to put the appropriate price on it. And that's a rare. Same with the Lightning Bolt. It's in comparison to the other burn spells on Arena, it's rare level. And it really doesn't affect anything. Like I said before, wild cards don't vary in price. They're all the same thing. It's how you choose to how and when you choose to redeem them. It's really just no issue. It's really nothing different to the players, and none of these decks are going to become all rare or all mythic decks. They're all going to be a balance of common, uncommon, mythic, and rare.
Okay. No, just because me being from an outsider looking in, I'm like, hold on. Like we see here, Brainstorm, Lightning Bolt, both comments, Lightning Helix, uncommon, you know, in what I've seen on the Strixhaven's beautiful promos, the beautiful cards they have in there, they're rare. And I'm like, you know, if I don't know how the finances work in Arena, but to me, it was like, if I got to pay more money for a rare, sorry, my friend, I'm not doing it.
There's logic being put in there. And I'd advise, really just give my advice to trust it. Okay. You got to look at it like this. They left Mishra's bottle at an uncommon for a reason. They didn't change that. They left it at an uncommon. Lightning Bolt, they changed to a rare. Brainstorm, they changed to a rare because they saw how powerful it is. Not that Mishra's bottle isn't powerful, but they're really looking at the wide array of potential for these cards and then ranking them on their rarity based on that.
Okay. That's fair. You know, I would like to see more, but you make a very insightful point. Let me ask you, if a card gets restricted, allegedly, they're going to get a wild card for those restricted cards. How do you feel about that?
Like I said before, that's very generous of Wizards, especially knowing that if the card ever becomes unbanned or allowed in another format, if you've gotten a redeemed wild card for it being banned, you still have it available in your collection. That is a... that's a practice, and not to get too off topic here, but that's a practice not enough businesses exhibit. Fixing your problem immediately. When that ban happens and you're not able to use the card that you paid for or redeemed, you're immediately getting those wild cards. Something no other business really does. And on top of that, you get to use it later if it's unbanned or put in another format. So I think that's fine.
I think that's probably one of the better benefits of playing on Arena compared to paper. It's like once it's gone in paper, you're screwed until they unban it or unrestrict it. Well, on Arena, you know, you have an opportunity to not lose your money, you know what I mean, or see your money downsized.
And that I'm glad you brought that up, that thing up, because it's an interesting beast, Arena, because like even Magic Online, you know, you have the option to sell your cards. So if you're in a pit where you're like, oh, I need to, you know, put out some draft content, or I want to do another draft, or I want to do this, your cards are there to sell. Like, it's a temptation. Arena, you can't do that. You can't dust your cards. You can't do any of that. They're there for you.
Oh, and that's fair. What the hell is that snoring? The dog. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I just heard a horrible snore. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I thought the ravishing fell asleep on me here. Okay, good. You're not snoring. Good. Listen, let me ask you the next thing. Right now, I hear early plays right now is very combo-y. And then there's a lot of control as well, where there's a battle between combo and control. Is that true, or is that... Yeah, are people making too much right now?
I think a lot of this is, again, people pick your complaint or, you know, grievance about Timeless. It's too early for people to be doing that kind of thing. As far as I've seen a wide variety of healthy variety, of different decks, ranging from control to aggro to mid range. I've seen, and you know, I'll bring this up for an example. When I first saw the Timeless was released, I looked online. I saw some of the example decks that different content creators posted. Mostly I saw Rakdos Sneak Attack, Gruul Natural Order, Blue-White Control, things like that. Very wide and healthy spread. And there's a lot of older formats and more familiar formats to other, archetypes to other formats that people can play on there. For example, Death Shadow, I'm nearly, aside from two Murktide regions, it's basically a copy paste from Modern.
Mm. Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Now, one thing I've heard is that Orcish Bowmasters is really, Masters, yeah, I was right, is really bad. It's I hear people saying this card needs to be restricted because it's just not a fair card. Your opinion?
My opinion is that maybe in Historic, it needs a little more work. It was rebalanced to, I believe, beyond the first draw step. But I honestly, as far as Timeless, it needs to stay. Cards like Brainstorm, there's a short answer. There's too much card draw and card advantage for you not to have it punishable by things like Orcish or Bowmasters or Sheldren.
Okay. Well, let me ask you real quick, because I was going to come to Arena just because of the fact that I'm a spirit guy, love spirits. I love making spirit content. And you've been one of the people in the forefront. Dwight, spirits, come on here. Do spirits.
Ghost Dad.
Let me ask you, the fact that, because spirits is, they're trying to bring Pioneer to Arena. And I know Explorer is the early phases of Pioneer. Will this format end up killing Historic or even Explorer?
No, absolutely not. When you saw Pioneer emerge originally, it didn't kill any other formats. If anything, drew some attention away. People were curious about it, wanted to play around with it more than Modern or Standard. But at the end of the day, people are going to find their homes. They're going to, you know, they're going to pick their corners of play, and they're going to reside in them. I don't think that any of these formats are going to die out. I think that all of them are going to, you know, stay as healthy as they are right now and, you know, continue to be popular.
All right. And then here's my final question for you, Peter. And thank you for being with us this episode. I'm a spirit guy, like I said. Is there anything comparable that I can use where I'm going to be happy, jovial, even giddy and say, yay, spirits? Or is spirits just,
So, as far as Historic and Explorer, I've had a lot of, especially Historic, Spell Queller cleans up games in Historic sometimes. But other than that, I haven't played with it much in Timeless. That being said, Timeless being the legacy of Arena, and you knowing how you and I first met, I think Spirits could probably make it in the Legacy-like format, being that during the time of, Valky Heavy in Legacy and Modern, I took a Bant Company Spirits list to the top three of a top third of a preliminary. So Spirits has always surprised us. I think that there's definitely room for, at the very least, a blue-white control Spirit shell.
Okay.
But we'll see. Maybe even an interesting spirit combo list will show up. Who knows?
Oh, I can't wait to see. And especially you, because you were a brewer. And I, like, for those who don't know, you have to watch him on Instagram and you got to watch the show. He brews these insane decks and they just win. And you have a great time laughing, giggling. Even the editing, I brought it before to him. The editing is chef's kiss. With that being said, you know, Pete, let them know a little bit more about you real quick and where they can find you.
Yes. If you go on to Instagram on Bucket Man Eternal, you will find my Instagram page there. You'll find all the episodes. I have to alter it a little bit so the episodes are easier to find on the event list. But if you scroll down, the art should say, you know, episode 5, 4. I have to still upload the art for 1, 2, and 3. But you scroll through it, you'll see the episodes. I hope you like them. Like, comment, share, and follow if you enjoy. And I believe Dwight has a little trailer to play for us here.
Oh, you got ahead of me. So now, Ravishing, I want you to do me a favor. For those who are staying around, please, 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 it's a moral imperative to watch this because it's an amazing trailer for this content creator, Peter Valco, or Peter freaking Valco, the Bucket Man himself. Roll the video.
Shut the fuck up! Stay the fuck away from my pumpkin! Holy shit!
Oh no, you can't have my mouth!
I'm going to kill you the way God put me on that with this hammer.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you're gonna, if you watch this, you're gonna have a great time with Peter. He's a great content creator. Hell, I'm a fan, and that's high praise, because I the very small fandom I have. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me thank Peter Valco for being here. Thank you, my friend, for being a continuous supporter of the show and answering some great questions about a format that I was unsure about. Who knows, you might end up seeing me on Arena soon, even playing a little bit of Timeless, because I guess I'm a Timeless wonder myself. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, the next time you're kicking your opponent's ass, make sure they say, "That's Bushi."